Hello, good morning and welcome to Mining Stock Daily from the Vancouver Resource Investor Conference in Canada. Today we're talking about gold and copper exploration in Ecuador, and I'm joined this morning by Scott Hicks, VP Corporate Development of both Lumina Gold and Luminex Resources. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Paul. Thanks for talking with me.
It's great to sit down again after so many months and, years now. Now, Lumina Gold and Luminex have both been very, very busy. Let's start with Lumina Gold. You've been doing a lot of drilling. You've got a big drill program underway. You've been having some very good results at Cangrejos and Gran Brestia. Tell us about the drill program.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Paul. So we raised about $20 million last October, and that was to start a 30,000-meter program to really take both pits to indicated and measured to use in our PFS that's coming up in early 2023. Right now we're about 25,000 meters through that program. As you mentioned, we've had some really good results at Gran Brestia, both extending it to northwest on a step out basis and also discovering that the higher grade area in the center of the pit, the breccia area, is a bit bigger than we thought it was. So that's great. And then as we kind of define the periphery of the main Cangrejos pit, we've been coming across some interesting higher grade veins. So we announced last week about 10 meters of almost 20 grams per ton material. And for those of your listeners that don't know, that's, probably kind of 30 times above the average grade of the pit. So, interesting finding things like that as part of this infill program.
I mean, that's potentially very important. You mentioned that you've got a pre-feasibility study you're working towards. So having that sort of high grade, that big zone right in the middle, and that could potentially work wonders for some of the economics of the PFS.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, at Gran Brestia in the old mine plan, that was coming in kind of year 7, year 8. So maybe that comes in a bit earlier now if there's some more higher grade there, and just rework the sequencing in the PFS. And, Marshall and the team are working on a lot of different optimizations as well. We're working at different phasing potentially coming up. So for those of your listeners that follow us, they know we are going from 40,000 tons to 80,000 tons a day, so a pretty massive operation. Right now we're looking at maybe going 30, 60, 80, or just ways to phase it that might bring down the initial capital a little bit and make it a more buildable project, even though it's the type of project, the larger you go, the bigger the MPV for sure, but maybe a more approachable capex for potential acquirers in the future.
And I suppose that's a part of the difficulty, if you like, or the challenge with a PFS. You've got to, whilst you're trying to make it attractive for a bigger company to potentially be interested in taking you out, you've also got to approach it as though you may develop it yourself. And so having that manageable capex is obviously a critical thing for a junior explorer transitioning into a developer.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, we've seen obviously, groups in country manage to finance projects. Fruta del Norte was able to finance kind of $700-800 million of capex. We're trying to shoot to get our initial down under that billion, and that was what it was for the 40,000 ton per day case, to see if we could phase it out a bit more and like you say, make it approachable. But if capital wasn't an issue, you'd come at this and build it at 50,000 tons and maybe go up to even 100,000 tons, because it is that huge of a deposit. Deposit, right?
And as a big deposit, it can sustain, or you think it can sustain, pretty sizable production profile.
Yeah, I mean, once you're at that 80,000 tons, you're basically over 400,000 ounces a year, right? Or right around it. So, it's a massive profile and definitely one of the largest assets that's out there in the market today. The resource right now is just sitting at about 17 million ounces of gold. So we think that might, it should go up a bit with the extensions we're doing now. But even if it stays around the same, that's a top 40 global asset by resource size.
And talking about the market, how are you experiencing the market? What's your experience of the market at the moment? What sort of message are you getting from investors and people you're reaching out to?
Yeah, I mean, I think people are generally constructive on the two commodities that we have. Obviously, we're 80% gold, 20% copper. So, from that would be the positive side of it. And we've seen, obviously, a lot of price appreciation since our last study. Our last study was at $1,400 gold and $2.75 copper. So, we're a long ways above that. People are obviously, worried about the inflationary environment as far as diesel costs and capex costs, which is understandable. One of the best things about Cangrejos is actually the low strip ratio, so kind of 1.1 to 1, so you're not moving a lot of rock to get at the ore, and that's that's helpful in an inflationary environment. You know, that's going to affect a lot of people where, you know, they have to move a lot more material to get at that.
Okay, now how important is it, the fact that you've got that sort of 20% copper? And I mean that within the context of, you know, Barrick Gold for the past year or two has been very, very clear that it wants more copper. More recently, just this past quarter, Newmont is now saying it's looking for copper as well as gold, or to have copper in the gold projects it's looking for.
Yeah, I mean, we think it's the right mix. You know, obviously, on a net cost basis, it's pretty important. You know, it takes off at least a couple $100 an ounce if you're deducting off cash costs, or even if you're thinking about it on an EQ basis. You know, we were still in and around kind of $700 to $800 an ounce cost profile. You know, the most of the gold reports to the CopperCon, and it's really clean CopperCon, which is nice. So you can use it for blending. So that makes it pretty appealing for, you know, Japanese or Chinese smelters that are looking to blend it with, you know, higher arsenic ores or maybe a dirtier ore that you'd get out of some other deposits. So we think it's the right profile and the right mix for people. You know, for the gold guys, they could still claim it's a primary gold deposit, but they're getting kind of their benefit. Obviously copper's tying in on the ESG side, and you know what we're seeing, and obviously this isn't just a Cangrejos thing, but in Ecuador, obviously all these projects are on hydro. That's super important for ESG, to have these lower energy places where you can extract these materials. So between the copper, the hydro, being so close to port, you know, we're only 40 kilometers from the deep sea port right there, it really reduces the carbon footprint of the project, and also ties into, I think, what people are looking for on that side.
Thank you, Scott. Now, what's the timeline on the PFS?
Yeah, so we're hoping to finish the drilling kind of August this year, and then that'll lead into a new resource model internal. We won't probably publish that, but that'll be the basis for the PFS. And then we'd expect to kind of have the PFS out probably late Q1 2023 is what we're looking at. So we've got Ausenco heading that work up right now, and a team of consultants that have been working on the project for, you know, the last, call it 5-6 years now, since this will be our third economic study on Cangrejos.
And that will obviously be a moment in time where you stop and take stock of how things are in that moment of time. And, you know, I guess the decision then will be, do you sort of carry on working towards a feasibility? Maybe you'll elicit a transaction or an offer or a bid from somebody.
Yeah.
But I guess that will be a sort of key decision point for the company.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's right. So on a capital spend basis, you know, if you wanted to go straight to PFS, you'd have to drill a little bit more to pay back in that measured category, and then, you know, drive on with your feasibility. So that's an option. But there's other things you can do in the meantime that would certainly be important for de-risking the project. So the big one is investment protection agreement with the government. That sets your tax and royalty rates. So that's something that we would look to start as soon as the PFS is done. And then also you've got your environmental permitting, which you could get started once the PFS is done as well. So even if you're not going right into a feasibility study and starting to spend the money on that, there's other things you can do to de-risk the project in the meantime that are quite impactful.
Thank you. Let's talk a little bit now about Luminex Resources. You just raised some money there. So tell us about the raise and what that money will be used for.
Yeah, sure. So for those of your listeners that may not know, Luminex was a spin out from Lumina in 2018. We just raised $9 million here last month. And what we're going to do with that money is we're going to drill 4 high priority targets at our Condor area. So we're going to drill the new Los Cuyas high grade discovery, which is adjacent to a pit that was an area that was outside of the resource. So we hit a fairly high grade, around 5 grams per ton underground chute there. So we're going to be drilling that, or we are drilling that right now, I should say. And then we're going to go and drill some areas around the camp high grade underground resource that we had already delineated, and look to expand that. So that's kind of in our Condor North area. That's the area we put out a PEA on last year. And then to the south of that in the project, there's two areas that have never been, two areas that have never been drilled that we're looking at. Prometedor, which is a gold target. That could be a satellite to the Condor North area and add to that mine life. And then there's also an area just north of El Hito, and that's in central Condor, and it's a copper target. And El Hito had 8 or 9 drill holes put into it before, kind of around between 0.4, 0.45 copper. Some interesting results, and those actually hadn't been assayed for gold. So we've been doing a lot of work in that area on soils and rocks to delineate a copper anomaly. So we're going to drill just north of where that previous drilling was. And, you know, at the time when they drilled it, 0.4, 0.45 copper wasn't that great or that interesting, but as you know, now that's kind of an interesting level. So we'll go back and take a look at that.
Well, a lot of positive things to come there, Scott. And Lumina Gold, Luminex Resources will also be presenting at the CGS Quito event that I am hosting in Quito in Ecuador on 6th and 7th of June. Lumina Gold trades on the TSXV under LUM and on the OTCQX under LMGDP, while Luminex Resources trades on the TSX under LR and on the OTCQX under LUMIF. Scott, thank you, VP Corporate Development. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. Appreciate it.